Mic check 1 2 1 2. All right. Welcome to the It's the Real podcast. We got all our friends in the building. We got Eric, aka Jewish McCurley. We got Jeff, aka Glasses Malone. And that's it. Even if it's not much to get to, we gonna get to it. God damn it.
It's perks.
Shout out to our Spotify listenership, our YouTube viewership.
Why? Are you? No, it's not like Obama.
Our Sam's Club membership. Shout out to our Sam's Club.
No one wants to hear you're Obama. I think they'd rather hear us do Joe's laugh. Jeff, this is that energy we needed right here.
Everybody who's got their library cards.
Jeff,
yes.
We gave the people what they wanted. This is for Parks Hive. This is for anybody who wanted the Joe Button bingo card finished.
No, we still need Erickson, Savon, Lexington, Sin.
Hold on, Jeff. Gotta let the hook rock.
You're it. New Eric and Jeff. New Eric and Jeff.
You know what? You know what's weird, actually? When we were asking people who they wanted, some people were like, you need to get Joe Budden's dad.
We need to get Joe Budden's dad?
Jeff, I'm just telling you what the people want.
Well, I guess my problem would be not with Joe Budden's dad. My problem would be need.
No, of course.
Like,
people... Well, no. That was the whole thing with this. People were like, we don't hear enough from Parks. We need to know his story. Well,
okay.
Here it is today.
Here it is.
It's like the guy doesn't speak for, as he says, 6 hours a week already. They need that insight that only we can give, you know?
We are the Talking Joe Budden podcast.
Is that the reality? Is that who we are? Are we really... Is that all we should do?
Well, I will say we didn't have Parks on for a very long time because we didn't want to be that.
And you told him that, by the way.
I told him
you
straight
up. You were
very
upfront. You were like, welcome to our apartment. We did not want to have you over here for a very long time.
Well, because our top episodes are...
Yeah, like Rory or Maul.
Nadeska,
yeah,
Ice.
People who are within that Joe Budden economy.
Although the Joe Budden podcast, on our podcast...
Well, here's... Okay, fine. For all you Joe Budden heads out there...
Yeah, go listen to episode like 13 or whatever it is.
Send that to the top of the charts.
Yeah,
next
why,
to episodes
why
you know, with Ravy B and Birdman and Juvenile. Let's put the Joe Budden one from 2015 up there.
Why is the Joe Budden one from 2015 so slept on?
You know what, Jeff? I could tell you there's so many reasons for that. But I think the people should just listen for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's your task this week, guys. We helped you out.
Mm-hmm.
Parks is on the podcast.
Yep.
You help us out. Let's bring that random episode from 2015.
I mean, it's not that random.
Joe Budden on A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
No, if you really want to do like a random episode.
To the top of the charts.
Do like...
Jay Parks?
Yeah, do Jay Parks. Why not? Jay Park.
Park?
Jay Park.
Jay Parks? And Jay Parks.
Jay Park.
Jay Parks.
Jay Park.
No, it's like Joe Buttons.
Yeah, and Meek Mills.
And
you're doing
Jay
Parks.
Yeah.
Jay Park's the... Now you got me doing it.
Yeah.
Jay Park, the Korean Seattle rapper signed to Rock Nation.
That's right. Go
you
check
want...
that episode out.
All right.
Yeah. You know how you do recommendations every week? We should do like random recommendations. Because really...
I mean, really, that is what we should do.
Yeah, because the thought behind it is like, okay, Birdman, Bun B, and Currency, you know, and whoever else.
Yeah, fuck it. If you like... If you're looking for that Park story, you might also like...
The Jay Park story.
The Jay Park story.
Oh, man. By the way, amazing reaction to the Birdman episode last week.
Also Juvenile.
And Juvenile.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So for a lot of people wondering why the audio sounded like it did, the answer is we brought three great directional microphones down there, and Juvenile showed up, too. So we had four people there. Three
and Juvenile took the good mic. But why are we explaining it again? We did that last week.
No. But we didn't really get into it, and there were a lot of people who were just like, why does it sound like that?
Yeah, because these assholes don't listen to the intro.
I know, and that's a huge issue. So whoever's listening right now,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're one of two.
Yeah, and we appreciate it. We do put a lot of work into all these episodes from the beginning all the way to the end, so please listen whether we're shouting you out, whether we are talking about what's going on with us, or whether we were explaining once again why the audio was the way it was in that Birdman and Juvenile episode.
Parks,
but please,
and Jay Parks.
But please do go check that episode out. We have some video coming soon too, which is cool.
Yeah.
But we put a clip up of how we ended that podcast. And I think the way we ended that Birdman and Juvenile episode is probably...
Your favorite?
My favorite. It's that one, John Legend, and I think Guap Dad 4000. I think those are the top three, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, I would say the Guap Dad might be my favorite only because it sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the other two were planned. Those were things we wanted to do.
I mean, they weren't in on the joke.
No. Correct. Those are things that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
They were surprised.
But during the Guap Dad 4000 one, when I said that he sounded like Lloyd and then had him sing the Lloyd song.
It was amazing. Really good. That was really quality podcasting right there.
Yeah.
And so is this episode with Parks.
It's Parks.
I don't want to get into his story because you guys are just going to listen to it anyway, right?
Or whatever.
But if you don't know who he is...
He's the fourth guy on the Joe Budden podcast.
He's actually a really... Really wonderful dude, a great human, a great engineer.
A tall drink of water.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's funny too. And people see the picture and they're just like, oh, Jeff, you're not the tall one anymore.
Is that what they sound like?
That is what they sound like. That's what they said. You're... Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Richard Knievel, a.k.a. Stunting Like My Daddy.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Mood Music, a.k.a. Parks and Emotional Wreck.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, how are you? Mood Music and Parks and Wreck. I'm Parks and Wreck. Fuck out of here.
It's Parks.
A.k.a. Parks on the Board, a.k.a. Big Red, a.k.a. all the other shit they make fun of me for. Levi's Man, I don't know.
Yes, your third favorite podcast. Waste time with this wheel. Bra, 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 bra. Parks, what's happening?
Chill, man. How you guys doing?
Yo, good. Thank you for coming all the way up to the Upper West Side.
Yeah, it was a troop. It was a long haul, but I made it.
Yeah, you traveled like 3 days to get up here.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then you went across the street and started knocking on the wrong door.
Like, there's no 1K. What the fuck?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. Is this weird to do a podcast in someone else's home?
It's nice, man. Yeah, it's got a nice little setup here. It's a little different from my little Queens hovel.
Yeah, but when you have people over, do you, like, go into extra sort of...
Do you clean up for Joe Budden?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Well, you know, with a limit, because we're going to smoke cigarettes and drink and spill shit. Yeah. Joe spills things all over my whole house, so...
On any, like, control boards, computers, any of that?
No, thankfully, no.
Yeah.
I sit and guard all that shit.
Has that ever happened?
Probably.
That's always, like, our biggest concern. When we go to, like, you know, a studio out in L.A. or something like that, and they still have the old, like, SSL boards or whatever.
Yeah.
We're like, what is that for? They're like, oh, to hold drinks. And we're just like, well, that seems stupid.
Yeah, it kind of is, though.
Can I just say, everybody who's listening to this podcast is going to be like, these guys talk so fast. Like, to the point that, like, I just had, like, this very self-realization. I'm just like, oh, my God, we're all talking like the Micro Machines guy.
Yeah, and I just had a coffee.
We're going to get this. Yeah, we're going to get this podcast done in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But I want to start here first. When you guys were on tour this last time, you did LA first?
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was good. We're figuring it out, but it went really well and people enjoyed it. And we had fun.
Yeah.
But we're always trying to make our shit better, you know, in general.
And then you went to the Bay next.
Yes.
And in that period of time, Nipsey was killed.
Yes.
And there's a lot to that, but as performers and as people who need to sell an entertaining night for people, what was the discussion like behind the scenes before you did that show?
I mean, it was tough, man. It was tough. We were all sad and fucking teary-eyed and listening to Victory Lap, and you know what I mean? We came out to Blue Laces, I think, and ended... I forgot what the other song we ended with was. But we wanted to still just have a fun show. You know what I mean? We wanted to come out and pay respects, have a lot of fun, and then pay respects on the way out. We didn't want to have it like a depressing, sad show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sort of line to toe.
It is.
You know?
It is.
You know, like we had an intro last week where we spoke about it. You guys dedicated a lot. Thank you. You guys dedicated a lot of your... today's episode, but the previous one too.
Yeah.
But a live audience is different. You know, that's a lot of people who are probably going, you know, feeling the same things that you're feeling.
But also feeding off of your energy.
Yeah. And you do want to be funny. That's a tough one. So
It is. It's a tough line to tread, but, you know, we all want to cheer up in those kind of situations. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, rest in peace, Nipsey.
Yeah.
And then you got to, you know, break some people up in the audience.
Yeah, exactly. What better way to make people happy than to break up some happy homes?
Yeah.
You live in Queens.
Correct.
You tape in Queens.
Correct.
Where are you originally from, though?
Upstate New York.
Whereabouts?
Elmira, New York.
Oh, totally.
Beautiful
Elmira. Yeah. Beautiful Elmira.
I know it from, like, not going that way, but I went to Syracuse University.
Oh, did you?
So okay. I would always see it, you know, sort of at the...
Yeah, it's not much there besides jail.
Yeah. Is that like, kind of it. That's like the industry?
Yeah, in hospitals. There's a couple hospitals.
Dope. Well,
what did your parents do for a living?
My mom works in a hospital. Oh, okay. And my dad works for Allstate.
Any siblings by yourself?
Two sisters.
Older or younger?
Older. I'm the runt.
Yeah,
I got beat up a lot.
But okay, you're a tall drink of water. So you like, when did you actually like grow?
Well, my sister was really tall too. So
not like you're
I didn't
like
outgrow
6'5".
Her. Yeah, I'm 6'5". I didn't probably start outgrowing her till high school.
Are your parents like that?
My dad's very tall. My dad's 6'6" or so. He's taller than me.
So this didn't come out of like nowhere.
No.
Growing up there, what was it like? It's a quiet town, right?
Kinda. It's a little bit hood, probably because of the jails to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Not the hospitals.
The hospitals are pretty tame, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Although you know. Those nurses get a little crazy, man. it's a small town, but there was a little bit of shit going on, but not really.
Do your folks still live up there?
Yeah, they do.
And how often do you make it back?
A couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas.
Yeah, sure.
Memorial Day weekend, I try to go up.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Is Elmira lit on Memorial Day weekend? Like, it's like...
like Miami?
Yeah.
Well, no, everything closes at 1 there, so...
Damn.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach.
There's only so much lit you can really get.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of house parties, though.
Were you outgoing as a kid?
Yes and no. I think that I was pretty shy, but I wasn't like I was social. I'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like as a young kid, shy. By high school, especially once I found like pot and booze, pretty outgoing.
Did you play any sports growing up?
I like basketball and football, but not for like the school.
Not for sports reasons?
Not for sports reasons. No. I wasn't going to make it for like the team.
Sure.
Because I was going to smoke pot.
Yeah.
And make beats.
By the way, so I just bought a bunch of trophies off of eBay because I thought it would be funny to have trophies that I didn't win as my new aesthetic.
Which ones
they're
did you
like,
get?
Yeah,
did you
like,
get like a bowling?
Yeah, bowling, swimming trophies from like 1978.
Nice.
Yeah,
what's the most obscure one?
There's Chess? A PTA thing.
There's like a cultural award too, I think.
Yeah,
that you won. And
they're all from like.
Well, you
Michigan.
Won the auction.
Yeah, so. You're sure.
Yeah, you did win them.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
I did a buy it now, so I guess I didn't even win that.
I like that. That's a good hobby, man.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Not a hobby.
That's a hobby. You're collecting things. Yeah, that's a fucking hobby, bro.
Wow, like you make it seem like, hey, this is something that's interesting about me.
What was high school like for you?
Party. I had the party house.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, that was kind of like...
Did you clean up for everyone who's going to come over?
Yeah. A lot of spilled drinks then, too. I've been cleaning up spilled drinks for a long time.
Sure, sure.
And making rap songs.
What? Well, yeah. Did you rap in high school?
I rapped for like a week.
And your name was?
Parks.
Yeah, wow. Oh.
I really did steal your AKA.
Yeah. Did your friends rap? Was this something where it was like...
We all rapped.
Yeah. You did you produce saying? Too? Or?
Yeah, once I got into producing, I left rapping alone.
Okay.
What was your style of rap?
I probably wanted to be like Killer Priest.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a Wu-Tang fan.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I wanted to kick knowledge.
You wanted to be the classic ninth man.
Yeah.
Did you try to emulate that Wu-Tang sound?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you sample Premiere, things?
Yeah, I was a sampler.
Okay.
Yeah. And my dad had like a big record collection, so once I found out that that's like how hip-hop was made, I was hyped. And went through all his records and made beats out of them.
Well,
and my friends rapped on them.
Did you program or did you?
Yeah, I programmed.
Like, cause what? Yeah, what did you go into?
I had a Insonic EPS keyboard,
okay.
And then I went into. Well, at first I was looping on like what was that shit called on Windows? Like the fucking basic.
Solitaire.
Yeah, I made beats on Solitaire and the pinball game.
Yeah,
I forgot what that shit was called. Sound recorder. You could like make a little loop.
Yeah,
so I would just like duplicate it.
Yeah,
and then we would rap over that.
What was the name of your group in high school?
Holla Factory.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Holla Factory.
Why didn't you guys catch on?
Tough to say, man. Tough to say.
Are there any recordings out there on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe on MySpace, but I think that MySpace just died, right?
Yeah.
No, but
finally.
But then the Internet like, Wayback Machine, they rescued all 490,000 or whatever.
Technology's crazy.
The Internet Wayback Machine?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get hip to that machine.
Yeah. Were you like... like the one producer in your school?
There was one other kid that was, he wasn't in my school. He was a couple years older than me. Probably like 5 years older.
And what could you do with your guys' like career at that point?
Not much.
Okay. Could you perform out? Were there talent shows?
We did talent shows.
Yeah.
And won them, you know.
Oh, that's
we held it down.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
The town wasn't really that open to like rap performance though at the time. Like,
right. Like all. It was always just like
it's upstate New York.
And yeah.
And you're like the white kid who's trying to act black to everybody, right? At that point.
Like that's their image.
In their minds, I guess. Yeah.
Did you travel to like Syracuse? Did you go to like
a little bit
Ithaca, Rochester,
Syracuse,
Buffalo,
Binghamton, a little bit.
Binghamton. Did you have any sort of goals for music outside of the central New York area?
Yeah, I mean we wanted to be fucking Wu-Tang, man.
Yeah, but how do you become Wu-Tang?
Well, it didn't really work out for
sure,
us.
Yeah.
One, your name was too short.
That's true. I need to have like a scientific
I had goals
name.
To go on.
Everybody did, I think, but everybody was in the streets and going to jail and shit.
Of your group?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
My crew was official.
Including you?
I went to jail, but not real jail.
You went to jail?
What, as like a tourist?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I got like arrested a bunch of times.
Oh, no, that's
not
like
I didn't do like a bid.
A bunch of times, though?
Yeah.
In town?
Yeah. And well, the town was like, because it was a jail town, it was like super policed. Like there was like 11 cops per square mile or something.
Yeah, you can't go over the speed limit anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
No, you got arrested for anything.
And what did your parents think?
Yeah, but like, you got arrested for something illegal, not for just like, you know, sitting on a bench.
I mean, kind of the one best time that I got, not the best time, the one memorable time that I got arrested, there was like a one bar that had like the Christmas party every year, the only bar that was open.
Mm-hmm.
And
open bar.
No, not open
no, I mean,
bar.
It was open bar.
Past but 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. No.
Yeah.
1 a.m. was always the cutoff.
Yeah.
And so after the bar let out, there was a bunch of fights and shit, and then the cops were out there like fucking people up. So I had a camera on me and was taking pictures. And I went to jail for that on Christmas.
Wow.
So that was tough. Like, well, yo, Dad. So I'm in prison.
Oh, my God.
And not even for anything cool, just for being, like, the guy who... You were the ninth man again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was. I think they charged me with, like, disturbing the peace or something.
And what'd your dad say when he picked you up?
Go home.
Yeah.
Small town was... It was rough.
So the goal was to leave that small town?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say so. Did you want to go to New York? Did you want to go elsewhere?
Well, I moved to Chicago. I had a friend that was going to school out there and he needed a roommate, so I lived in Chicago for like a year and a half.
This is post high school.
Yes. Post college.
Okay. Post college. Where'd you go to college?
SUNY Oneonta.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Stonyonta.
Stonyonta.
Yeah.
I doubled down. I was in and out pretty quick.
Okay.
I went to community college, so then I went there for like a year and just did like 24 credits semestering.
And by the time you got to Oneonta, what was your major? Did you have time to
music business.
So moving to Chicago,
yeah.
What was out there that you could sort of like get your teeth into?
I interned at a studio called Hinge, which did Kanye West, a bunch of his stuff, Lupe Fiasco, a whole bunch of gospel records, jazz records, and shit like that.
Okay,
well, how did you get the internship?
Yeah,
applied, interviewed. Dude was like my
standard
age. He was cool. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They wanted you to do what?
Pick up shit.
Yeah.
I was interning, so like pick up shit. It was actually a little more hands on than a lot of internships are. Like I was setting up mics and. It was all analog, so it was all like outboard gear that you had to change all the knobs on for every single session. It was a pain in the ass, but it was a good learning experience.
Were you good at it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd already been cutting records and shit at that point, so like, you know, independently with my homies, but like I was very familiar with working in a studio.
Well, were you familiar with like studio hours?
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been a night owl, so it was cool.
12-hour shifts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Longer sometimes.
And sleep at the studio?
Yeah, sometimes.
What sessions really stuck out to you in that time?
I mean, the Kanye stuff, definitely for graduation.
Oh, so he was still recording there?
Yeah, occasionally. He was in New York, but when he was in Chicago, he would go there because that's where he kind of worked out of for his early career. And, you know, John Monopoly and all those guys were involved
Kanye West.
Over there. yeah, that Kanye. Yeah, not the other Kanye.
Yeah,
yeah, those were all pretty memorable. Lupe's stuff was very memorable. Superstar and... what was the other shit called? I don't remember. There's a bunch. The whole Cool album.
Yeah.
Did Lupe seem happy making that music?
Yeah. That was when he was making like the music that he wanted to make, I think, still.
I can't remember. Like at this point, it's always like, I just feel like he's always been upset making his own music. Like, I honestly don't even remember.
Yeah, his first two albums, I think, were the songs that he wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And then it was the ones that were after that he was just
where
like...
he was doing, like, the disco songs and shit like that.
Where Lior, like, stood outside of, like, Atlantic Records and held up the
like, you're going to be a superstar, damn it.
So, while you were there, did you have any sort of engineering experience with any artists that you really cared about?
I mean, outside of those guys, I didn't really work with any like local or up and coming guys. I was still working with people from back home, you know, because I would still drive home for holidays and shit like that.
So they wouldn't bring their own engineers in?
No, not typically.
And did you like figure out like quickly how they worked or how they wanted to work?
Yeah. You just, I mean, when you're working at like a public studio like that, you just do kind of whatever people tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, hey, this is what we're doing. Okay, we'll plug in this mic and go.
So it wasn't like you didn't get a chance to sort of like voice any of your opinions into what they were doing?
No. When you're the intern slash assistant, you don't voice opinions, man. You do whatever people tell you to do and go get coffee if they want you to go get coffee.
And you did.
I did.
Okay, yeah.
I did. I was very good at getting coffee.
Nice. Okay, got it.
Superstar.
Yeah,
man.
And how long did you stay there?
Like a year and a half.
Did you feel like that was going to be your home?
Yes and no. The music scene, like I thought moving to Chicago, I thought everybody rapped like Common and Kanye. Mm-hmm. That was really not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It was more trappy, early, I guess, stages of trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or descendants drill. Descendants of like Crucial Conflict and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like it was a lot more of that than there was like soulful hip hop shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like all those guys lived in New York by the time I lived there.
Yeah.
So.
What year is this?
2006.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't really foresee a long future. I love the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
I love, that's like my, still my favorite city probably.
Wow.
Aside from New York.
Yeah.
But,
so would you go to like shows? Would you find yourself like,
bro, the show scene in Chicago is amazing.
Yeah.
You could go see shows every night. Every big artist goes through Chicago, obviously.
Yeah.
And shows were cheaper. Like coming to New York was like a culture shock in that level. Like
yeah.
The shows here are like $60. Out there you go see Redman for $20 at the time or whatever. And
yeah.
Like open bar, you know, all types of dope shit. So that was kind of a culture shock.
And were you producing on the side?
Yeah, I was always making. I'm still, to this day, I always make music.
Did you sell any in that era?
Not really. Like I said, I've always been focused on like my home team guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with them still, you know, going back and forth. I'd come home. We'd cut a bunch of records. I would steal fucking CDs and CD duplicators out of the studio I worked at and go home and flip them and... That was
another
hustle,
lame
man.
Way to get to jail, by the way.
Listen, man, I'm from jail. What do you want me to do?
Why did you leave Chicago?
Well, I guess my lease was coming up on my apartment, so I started just kind of like looking around, and I was actually going to move to Philly. I was talking to Larry Gold at the time, who does all the string orchestration shit for everybody, basically. And I was trying to get a job with him, and it looked like it was going to happen, so I was like, well, fuck it. My lease is up. I'm going to move to Philly. And then my brother was living in New York at the time. Well, he's not my blood brother, but my brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, just come stay here with me for like a week or something. I was like, all right, cool. Fell in love with New York. The Larry Gold thing was kind of a little sketchy, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna stay in New York. And so I did.
Did your brother enjoy you staying forever or no?
He left, actually. So it worked out.
Where did he go?
He went to law school.
Wow.
At Syracuse, actually.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
When you were sleeping on your brother's couch.
Yes.
You're a tall guy.
I am.
How did that work for you?
Uncomfortably. Being tall is very uncomfortable in most situations,
where
as
do
you know.
Think, yeah. Where do you think the worst place to be tall is?
Planes.
Okay.
I would say.
I think concerts.
Oh, I love it. I don't give a fuck.
See,
I'm blocking all of you and whatever, man. Kiss my ass.
My Jewish guilt is on like 1,000. Like standing in like a concert, I hate it. And like especially like when I get like I'll end up in like the front row sometimes and like
that happened the other day at Summer Walker.
Yeah.
When you're just like, fuck this, I'm going downstairs.
Yeah,
like,
I was like,
get
no.
out of the way.
Stood in the back of the room.
Well, you don't have a problem like on subways or anything?
No. What? Subways. I mean, I hit my head.
We went to London.
Oh no, that's a different kind of subway, though.
Yeah, that's the underground.
That was like
or something.
Yeah, you're like shaped like a.
That's a tube, and it's like, it's built for the Middle Ages.
Yeah,
it's like it cuts off at like 5 foot
yeah,
seven or
yeah.
something.
They never anticipated guys of your size would even like live
no.
on this planet.
And it's like $10 for a trip or something obscene.
No, have you been to London?
I have a bunch of times. Yeah. And I tried to go on the subway, and I was like, I'm not paying 10 fucking pounds to get on the subway.
$20.
Yeah, fuck out of here.
So you come to New York, you get yourself set up, but where are you working then?
I worked at Manny's Music, which was right next to Sam Ash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I worked there. And
right
made
on.
No money.
Well, what were you selling?
Keyboards and mics and shit.
Were you a good salesman?
I was, actually, but it was not. It's still, they tried to screw you out every single dollar you make. And it wasn't a very profitable... Like, if you worked in guitars, you could actually make a couple dollars,
yeah.
but, like, in audio, it was not, there's no money.
Why is that?
Low profit margin, I guess. I don't know, man.
Did you sell to anybody interesting?
Well, I met this guy, Charles, who was working with DJ Premier at the time. Mm-hmm. And that is how I kind of got started there.
That's a good segue.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, it was. Actually, I sold to Sean Stockman, who has become a friend of the show.
Wow.
Ironically.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of people. Like, Santana used to come in and... what's the dude's name from Fish, the guitarist?
Oh, Trey?
Trey.
Yeah, Anastasio, wow. Who apparently was around the corner from
Willie
us.
Nelson used to come in a lot.
Whoa.
Yeah, there was like a lot of stars came in there. Because it was like a legendary music store and no one knew that Sam Ash owned it. And so people still thought it was like an independent music store. Like, let's go there. But it wasn't. It was Sam Ash.
When you meet Charles,
yeah,
does he bring it up? Do you bring it up that you're looking for an opportunity to not work at Manny's anymore?
Well, I was smoking pot on the roof.
Okay.
And
hold on. What?
That's what we used to do because we didn't make any money. We didn't give a shit.
Right.
So, and I would like walk around through the stock rooms because it was on the way to the roof to smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in looking for some like specific cables and no one there gives a shit. So like his salesman was like, I don't know if we have that. And I was like, oh, I do know that we have that. And I'm also high and want to get off the sales floor for a minute.
Yep.
So I went and got him the shit and then we were just kicking it. And he's like, yeah, I work, you know, at headquarters, D&D. I was like, oh, can I have a job?
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up. And he was like,
you didn't say like, hey, I have experience.
Yeah, well, you know, once we started talking.
Okay, gotcha.
But
yeah,
I'm kind of like, I shoot from the hip pretty quick.
Yeah.
With people. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, can I have a job? And he's like, we are looking for interns. And I was like, all right, cool, this is my experience, blah blah blah. He's like, all right, great, you know, start whatever Tuesday, whatever the next day was.
Amazing.
Yeah. So,
and you did.
I did.
So you were interning but also keeping your job?
Yes.
Because otherwise, how are you staying in the city?
I could barely stay in the city with the job.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it wasn't going to work out if I tried to just intern.
And what was the big difference between working in the studio in Chicago and working at headquarters D&D?
It was just a lot cooler. It was private. You know what I mean? So, like, we're just chilling. Like, the clients are coming in to work with the people specifically. It's not like they book the time and, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, it's like, oh, I'm coming here to work with Preem and they're just chilling in the lounge. Like, it's much more laid back. And it was more producer driven. Everyone there was a producer. So it was a better learning environment.
Could you decide your schedule or was it like a specific time?
A little bit of both, I guess, honestly. Like whenever someone big was coming in, I had to be there, obviously. But I could kind of go in there whenever I wanted to.
So you were one of how many engineers?
Just one. Well, two, I guess. KC was around at the time, the King of Chill, legendary producer, did all of MC Light stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's still around. So he was around... but I think really just me and him. And Charles is an engineer, but he was also a producer, so he kind of did a little bit of both.
And how confident were you in your abilities?
Very.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So no one like brought in anything where you were just like thrown off by...
I mean, this is skipping ahead a little bit, but when Slaughterhouse came in, it was a bit overwhelming.
Well, yes, for about like 1,000 remixes.
Yeah. There was a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of producers, a lot of,
sure,
you know, artist managers, too many people. But
yeah,
right off the bat, I was like, yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? Other interns that they had brought in sometimes would be like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to record. It's like, dude, you're in the wrong business, man. Like,
yeah,
you want to be an engineer, you better start fucking engineering some shit.
How quickly did you go from all analog stuff to stepping into a Pro Tools world?
It was, like, I guess, a kind of a gradual thing. You know what I mean? I grew up in the 4-track era, cassette shit. That's like where I really started.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but digital was starting to come around, but it was kind of like frowned upon, like Fruity Loops and Cool Edit and all, yep, that shit. People, yep, didn't like think that that was legit.
Were you snobby?
I was never snobby.
Okay.
I try not to be anyway.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
engineers and producers are a little bit snobby. You know what I mean? And artists really in general. So I guess I'm a little bit snobby, but yeah, it was a gradual but abrupt transition.
While you're there, you're working with who specifically?
Preem was doing Royce Street Hop at the time, so I guess I was working on that, and he did like a Ludacris record and some remixes for like Maroon 5 and shit like that I was, you know, kind of assisting on, shit like that.
Did those guys come in too?
No, this is all being... Well, Royce is there.
Mm-hmm.
Royce is always around. Shout out to Royce.
Yeah,
man, I love Royce.
Yeah.
And like, what was your relationship with him before Slaughterhouse?
Not much of a relationship, honestly.
You were just that guy who would like,
yeah,
you know,
the guy,
adjust
the tall,
the
awkward white guy. Yeah.
You weren't like Parks from the Wu-Tang Clan. Like.
I was not the ninth scientific disciple yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
When do they officially sort of like deem you the guy there?
Well, I told Charles that I couldn't work at that store anymore because I wasn't making any money. I hated it, and I had to be there at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And
that store,
that store at Manny's, yeah, that store. And they like fired me and then rehired me and fired me and rehired me a bunch of times because I would just come. I was not on time.
Right,
yeah. I was not punctual.
You were busy smoking on the roof.
Exactly. So,
well, what's the best reason that you got fired?
For being late.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they begged me to come back, so I did for like a week, and then I was still just late all the time. They're like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. And I was like, well, go fuck yourself, actually.
Have you been back?
Yeah, I go back still. Okay. I still go back to Sam Ash. I still got guys
just to
there.
Smoke on the roof?
Yeah. Nah, they moved, man. They're bougie now.
I know. Yeah. So.
And then around that time, Joe was coming in to do street hop stuff, and, you know, he wanted to start where he knew Charles from a studio in Jersey or something like that. So he was like, yo, Joe wants to start coming in. Will you work with him? And I was like, yeah, I'm a fan of Joe. You know, I'd recently become a fan. He was doing Mood Music 2 or 3 at the time. So I was like, yo, he's dope. And I was living in Jersey City when I first moved to New York. So I was trying to like work with him anyway. So
can I just ask, while Joe is going through Mood Music,
yeah,
what are you going through in your life that he speaks to you?
Poverty. Supreme poverty. Living off $200 a week in New York City is fucking rough.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Did you guys ever like carpool from Jersey?
No, I had moved to Queens by the time I met Joe. All so, right. But when I first moved to New York, I was living in Jersey City at my brother's apartment, and was like, oh shit, Joe's dope. And he's from Jersey City. Let me try to like link up with him. And this is MySpace era. And he ignored me or didn't see the message, was, you know, doing whatever he was doing on MySpace at that time. So, so he was going to come into D&D and work, and I was quitting my job at the time. So he's like, oh, this will work out great. You work with Joe. And that was around the same time that Slaughterhouse was forming. So I was like, oh, this might be like a good play.
Were you a part of the Amalgam Digital project?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, I was a beautiful time, though.
I know. It's one of our favorite things, you know, when they put out the album and it said Joe Budden, B-U-D-D-D-E-N on the
that
physical.
That was a mess, man. But hey, they might have been ahead of their time, man, like as an independent company.
Totally.
Like,
but, you know, someone who did the art should have, you know, been on top of things. So what did you appreciate about Joe's like recording process? Or did you not?
I think we were just like, we became pretty cool talking about sports and women and drugs and, you know what I mean? Like, we just kind of clicked on that level. Mm-hmm. And then musically, he was just always a dope MC to me. You know what I'm saying? So like, I didn't like the beats that he was picking at the time particularly.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Did he appreciate that?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm a pretty blunt dude, so I mean, I don't say it mean.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, like, I mean, sort of, but like
constructive criticism.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But do you do it when it's like way too late to change it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Would you tell him that like he could do a better take?
Yeah, absolutely.
And did he appreciate that?
Yeah.
Would you tell him that there are 3 D's in Budden on the Amalgam cover after it's been printed?
After it's been printed? Yeah, I would point it out. Yeah. Every day, actually. Actually, we're going to bring that up again.
So what was his like recording process like? Was he there for a long period of time?
Yeah, man. Joe was a very long... It was a lot. He'd be there for 10 hours for one song.
Would he come in and just start working and then take 10 hours? Or would he like just chill with you?
Chill and write and be on, what was it, Blog TV or whatever the shit was at the time. Whatever he was streaming on.
Yeah.
Joe Budden TV?
No.
Oh, you mean
whatever was like Ustream.
Yeah, Ustream.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. So he would be doing that and just chilling, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee while the beat played, and he would be writing, I guess, while also chatting with fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was long days, man.
By the way, if he picked a beat that you hated and then put it on loop forever, you're just like...
It happened.
Uh-oh.
It happened.
Terrible.
A lot.
Terrible.
So he's obviously, at that time, going through a lot of things.
Yeah.
Is it a lot for you to take home? Because, you know, you have to basically be not only an engineer, but also like a therapist. And like, that's a lot to like take onto your plate.
That's part of the gig, kind of. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, friends that were going through worse shit than that. You know what I mean? Like going through jail and shit. You know what I mean? Like having a little sad relationship which was what he was going through at the time. You
sure.
know? He was doing better than he was probably during the Mood Music 2 and 3 era.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Amalgam, I think, gave him a couple dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, a
couple D's.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple D's. Yeah. I don't know. No, I'm cool. I can talk to people and be okay with burdening their their
grief. Unburdening.
Unburdening. They're burdening me with their grief, but it's cool, man. Yeah, I'm okay with being a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the gig, man.
Who else did you work with at that time?
Shit, man. 2009, 2010, probably, mm-hmm. when I started working with Joe and Slaughterhouse. Yeah. Joe and Slaughterhouse took up a lot of time. We were doing a bunch of shit for, like, because Charles did all the music for the hip-hop awards and stuff like the Cyphers and all that type of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So between all that and then the shit that I was doing on my own with, like, my roommate and shit, it was pretty much the bulk of my creativity.
Did Primo, like, ever play anything while you were there where you were like, oh, that's amazing, and then nothing ever came of it?
Yeah, that's always part of the gig, man. That's always part of the gig. There's a lot of shit in people's vaults. Although Preem tries to put out most of the stuff that he has, honestly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's one of those people. Like, some people keep shit and it never releases. Preem, for the most part, puts out most of the stuff that he... Like, he's not going to spend 1,000,000 hours working on something and then not put it out. That's his mentality.
Would you sit there and, like, just soak in, like, whatever he was...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, like, one of my favorite producers ever. You know what I mean? So it was, like, a dream come true and shit. Like, not to sound corny, but it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it does sound corny.
Yeah, whatever, man. I'll own that.
I don't know how often you get to be, like, earnest on the podcast. So, like, you know, I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, you got to, like, take Joe's role and just, like, make fun of me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your role on this podcast. Yeah. And I was working with, like, Showbiz and DITC at the time, who were also some of my favorites growing up. So, doing a lot of that stuff. Underground hip-hop shit, man. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So, it was great.
Did you ever play them any of your stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Did they say anything?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. Or walk in.
That is
like,
not
oh,
what
that's...
they said, though.
Well, they would say it a different way. Maybe, but...
That's cool. Great.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Like, real white sounding. No, they didn't say it that white.
So you and Joe, like, obviously grew close, and there was, like, a professional relationship there. Would you guys, like, also just, like, was he like, hey, you want to go grab something to eat, or you want to go to, like,
a
club?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really much of a club guy.
No,
but
sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, neither are we, but the same. Like, you know, it's like, all right, we'll go.
I mean, fuck it. I mean, if we're really talking about Joe, then it has to be like hookah bars and like going to like La Marina and stuff.
Well, that was later.
That was later.
Later in life,
mm-hmm.
which worked out well for me because I live in like Steinway. I live on Steinway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, you're next door. Yeah, I'll come over.
Do you think you became known as Joe's guy, or do you think that you were still like the D&D headquarters guy?
You know, it's funny. It's still to this day, it's kind of a little bit of both. You know, certain worlds know me as Preem's engineer, Preem's guy, or Showbiz's guy, and mm-hmm. some people know me as Joe's guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the public more knows me as Joe's guy because he says my name on rap songs and puts me on podcasts and shit.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about leaving New York in that time, or were you like, I'm so settled here?
No. I mean, before I started working and like actually making money at D&D, yeah, probably. I probably considered going upstate
because
I was making $200 a week and eating rice every day.
Yeah.
Like only rice.
Yeah.
And drinking like a beer a week that I could afford.
Yeah.
Which is not my lifestyle.
Right. No. Like, when was the first time that you were like flown out to actually engineer someone's session outside of the city?
Shit, I don't really know. I still don't do that much because I'm too busy in the city to really like fly.
Yeah,
but I became Joe's DJ probably 2011 or 12,
which was something that you were comfortable with, or
yeah, I was the DJ for my crew growing up. So you know, I had to learn his shit on stage, his mannerisms when he wants to cut the record, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's you know, that's when I started traveling a lot, I guess.
Did that come from necessity, or was that something where he was just like, no, I like you, I'm comfortable around you? And
a little bit of both. His DJ at the time flaked on him for a couple shows or some shit.
Damn.
So he needed someone to fill in, and I was like, I'll do it, man. And he's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know all the songs, you record them all and mix them all, so yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And so, were there any times when you were on stage and you like absolutely fucked it up?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But I mean, I would be just like following what I was told before or something. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're only going to do two verses of this song. But then like the crowd is feeling it, and I would cut it at two verses because that's what they told me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, yo, what are you doing? Like the crowd was feeling it.
And you're just like, yo, I just wanted to make sure like the audience, you know, knew every word, you know? Like, I want to make sure they hear me.
Nah, you just got to run away and say my bad, man.
Yeah.
So with the genesis of Slaughterhouse, we knew those guys in the early end too. We obviously like did the sketch video with them.
I was there for that
at D&D. Yeah. And to our recollection, here's how we understood it to be, right? Joe is the one who really came up with the idea and
of Slaughterhouse. Yeah, not our video.
No, we came up with the idea for our video. But those guys were not necessarily friends at the time.
Right. And there were some beefs, I think.
Correct. Yeah. When you first hear of the idea, that's through Joe?
Probably from the internet, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I probably saw it on the internet. I think that was right around the time when Joe was going to start recording there, and I was like, yo, Charles, he's got this group thing happening, so like, yeah, let's do that.
What was it like recording with all those guys then? I mean, is this like a backpacker's dream?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but they were all still like, aside from Royce, who had been around for a while, they were all still fairly up and coming, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, Joel and Crooked, at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a backpacker's dream, but it was very hectic, man.
Meaning
there was four MCs, three managers, label guys, producers. Everyone's fucked up. Like, no one was sober at that time.
You?
Like, I was probably sober.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was like Joe's pill era. Mm-hmm. Like Royce and Crooked. Everyone was drinking. I probably drank a little bit, but like I had to. Someone had to be sober.
Yeah, sure.
And also, I was getting yelled at all the time, so like I didn't want to be drunk fault? And getting yelled at.
And you were only eating rice.
Yeah, exactly. It was tough. And well, they had the dollar slice spot now, so that was.
Would they choose to be in the studio together to record, or was this something where it's just like someone's a morning guy, someone's an afternoon guy, and someone's a real late night guy?
Yeah, just doing shifts.
It was like a little bit of both. Both, like, Joe is more of a morning guy and Joel would be more of a morning guy, so they would come in, but they would also be guys that would want to stay kind of all night, and it would be overlap. I think on the first album, though, for the most part, everyone was there roughly at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
For the Shady stuff, it would be a little bit different.
Right.
Like, more shifty.
Yeah.
Which would mean I would be there for 16 hours, but it was cool.
But for the first album, that was recorded in how long a period of time?
A week.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Did you feel like it could have gone longer?
No, I think it was right. It was right. And there was some stuff, like I think we did like one extra song like a week later or something like that. But the bulk of the album was done in a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot of lyrics.
Well, and so you mixed it.
I assisted on two or three of the songs, I think, but I recorded everything.
Okay. Did you have enough time like to sort of like let everything sit? It seems like it's a fast process.
It was very fast. I think the last couple days we brought everybody in and played everything back and, you know, everyone voiced their opinions on songs and shit like that. So you couldn't really take it in until the end.
Well, where do you like to like test it?
Nowadays in my earbuds, I think the most.
Which, like the ones that Apple gives you?
Yeah, the shitty Apple earbuds.
Yeah.
Just because it's the most universal thing. And
yeah, that's what
has
everyone
them.
Listens to on. Yeah. Yeah. And my speakers at home, I like to listen to.
You're doing a marathon session.
Yeah.
How do you keep yourself up?
Coffee, water.
Well, you send someone else to get your coffee.
Now, yeah, man. Or actually, no, I still like to do everything myself. I'm a little hands on with everything in life, too much. Coffee, water. Don't really drink too much or smoke. Like, people always want, hey, you smoke? Nah, not yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll fall asleep.
Have you fallen asleep at the board?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I have eventually said, listen, guys, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to bed for a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. So you smoke cigarettes.
Yes, I do.
Joe Budden smokes cigarettes.
Yes.
What was your brand versus Joe's brand of cigarettes?
I mean, Joe's a Newport guy. I think he's very well known as being a Newport guy.
Well, he doesn't have like the chain like Nori does.
That's true. That is true. He's got to step his shit up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an American Spirit guy. They're organic. Wow. They're good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, American Spirit, if you're out there looking for a sponsorship.
Did you ever collect any like of the cartons that you had to like send in for? Like,
I've never
a jacket
been that
or
much of a cigarette smoker. Oh, I'm actually a pretty light cigarette smoker.
You don't get like a Marlboro jacket.
No, man, I've never been a point guy. Marlboro man. That is not me.
Have you worked with any singers who like were just like, hey, no smoking in the studio today, and I just need a really like
clean.
Yeah,
yeah. People that have like asthma and shit like that. Like, mm-hmm. I work with Pharrell Munch a lot. He has asthma.
And
so
what does that mean for you?
I smoke outside.
Okay.
It's fine. I like to smoke outside anyway. I'm not like an indoor smoker. Like, it's kind of filthy
to
me.
But I feel like because you're such a blunt guy, you might just like wreck his environment for him, like wreck his lungs.
Oh, nah. Well,
what do you do?
I'm a respectful person.
What do you do on a plane when you're going to London, by the way?
Oh, it's fine. I can not smoke for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a pretty tame smoker. Like, I take a couple days off a week. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to maintain my addictions.
Right.
Keep them somewhat healthy.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how many cigarettes does that mean a day?
I smoke like a pack and a half a week. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like a pack and a half a day.
Hell fucking no. That's not moderation.
I was like, I feel like we have different
American spirits will kill you like quick if you smoke that much.
Okay, so when you're
that's
making...
That's what happened to the Native Americans.
Oh. Jesus. when you were making $200 a week, you could barely afford food.
That's true.
Maybe not afford rent.
That's true.
What did you do for cigarettes?
Yes, $30 cigarettes.
Hand-rolled cigarettes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
which is a
thought
filthy
you were
fucking habit, man. Like,
wait, did you ever find a half-smoked cigarette
I wasn't that
on
bad.
The subway, on the subway platform.
How grim.
That's grim, man. Luckily, my roommate, Brian, who did the paintings in the background, by the way, shout out to Brian.
Yeah,
he smoked, too, so we could like share in our poverty cigarettes and shit.
Wow. When what did Brian think when he saw you guys on tour and you had the replicas?
Yo, I'm gonna invoice them.
Yeah.
Fairly. You know, go ahead, man.
Yeah.
So the Slaughterhouse 7 days are just super intense. What do you do right after that? I guess, did you guys like start touring after that?
They did. I wasn't touring with them at the time. I toured with them later, though.
Because they all had their own DJs that were ready to
do
that?
Yeah, yeah. Frequency did their tour DJ duties for a while until he produced a bunch of hit records and said, fuck that. And I said, all right, I'll do it, man.
Yeah. And did you travel by bus with them?
Bus. No, we traveled in like top. Well, with Slaughterhouse, by the time I was DJing for them, they were with Shady. So we traveled fairly comfortably. But
yeah.
With Joe, man, we were like in Tahoes and shit, like literally driving across the country in an SUV.
Wow.
Who was in your Tahoe?
Everyone.
Oh,
it was a Tahoe, man.
You can't say that we were traveling in Tahoes plural.
Oh, no. Just one Tahoe, man.
Yeah. Did you drive?
I got this reputation as being a bad driver, fortunately.
By whom? Everybody?
Joe. Okay. No, because one time we drove from, well, it was part of the tour. We drove from Dallas to LA and they woke me up at like 4 a.m. and were like, yo, can you drive for the last hour?
I thought that you were already driving. They woke you up.
No, and I was like, you know, up, I might have been swerving a little bit. Yeah. And so I got this reputation as a bad driver.
Damn.
So I didn't really have to drive ever again.
Great.
And that was great.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a bad driver. I'm a pretty good driver.
Right.
No, you definitely are not a good driver.
How many times were you stopped in Elmira?
Anybody who says, I'm not a bad driver, I'm a good driver,
you're
that
a bad driver.
Loudly.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, I grew up upstate. We had to drive a lot.
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I'm saying? Like, so I can drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was perfectly happy not driving.
What kind of car did you have at 16?
I had a Volvo, like an 84 Volvo.
A station wagon? Or
I wish, man.
Okay, yeah.
It was like the most analog car ever. There was nothing electric in it. It was all gas powered.
So
like,
what was the biggest problem with it?
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Well, eventually the ignition broke and then I had to start it with a screwdriver.
Really?
Yeah. So that was awesome, but then bad because I had a crazy ex-girlfriend that stole the car because she knew you could start.
Because she got it.
With
she brought her own screwdriver.
And she drove it in the side of my parents' house.
Did you hold on?
Wait. No. I don't know where you were gonna go with it. Now I have a million questions.
Sure.
She drove it in. She stole it and stole it and she stole
from
it
from my parents' driveway
it,
and then
drove it into your parents' house.
Correct. Not like through the wall, but
no,
like
it
over
wasn't
some
like a
fucking
Jimmy Kimmel prank. But like she, she drove it into the side of your parents' house.
Correct.
What was your parents' reaction? What was your reaction? What was her reaction?
She said she didn't do it.
Oh. Honestly, I believe her.
Wait, did she get out and run?
I don't know, man. I came home and the car was like half over the side steps.
Where were you?
At my sister's house. We were at a party. She's like, hey, I'm going to go to this other party. I was like, all right, cool, man. Go ahead. Have fun. And then that happened. I got home and the car was in the side of my parents'
house. Wait, is that why you guys broke up?
Yeah, I think that was a part of it. Yeah, yeah. My dad was pretty pissed.
Right. You're like, you went to her and you're like, we're done and give me my screwdriver back.
Nah, she left the screwdriver, thankfully.
Wow.
I had to still drive the thing.
Do you hear... Do you leave the car unlocked then?
Yeah.
Man.
But wait, what was the damage to the car?
It was a Volvo. You can't damage
a Volvo. Oh, there
was
no damage.
There was no damage to the car.
What was the damage to the house? The house fell
over. A bunch
of
steps got fucking trashed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your parents were not pleased.
Not pleased,
yeah.
No. I had to go out on like a Sunday with a hangover and help my dad re-cement the steps.
Oh my God. So, okay, so you get this reputation as a bad driver.
Your ex-girlfriend is a worse driver, by
the way.
That's true.
Where do you
know bad driving.
Where do you sit in the Tahoe, then? You're a tall guy.
In the back. It was rough, man. It was rough.
Damn.
Well, wait, like, on top of the merch.
how many people were there?
It was, like, 4 of us.
Okay.
Sometimes more. Sometimes 5.
But you weren't sitting in the middle.
No. Well, sometimes.
Really?
It,
they did
listen,
you like that?
Man, sometimes it had to
then
happen.
You block the...
the rear view.
Listen, man.
Talk about bad driving.
I know.
Dude, it was rough times, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Who bullied you into being in the middle?
I don't remember at the time.
Yes, you
probably
do.
Probably one of Joe's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Joe and his girlfriend probably wanted to sit back there or something.
Parks is just like seething inside.
Wait, Joe and his girlfriend had so they're like, you sit in the middle. That's about right. Yeah.
Mood music.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick second to interrupt this podcast to remind you that we're not just hip hop sketch comedians. We're not just podcasters. We're not just authors. We're not just rappers. We're not just great human beings, Jeff.
We're mug salesmen. We sell mugs.
And we want to keep that going, guys. So if we're going to put mug salesmen on our taxes this year, we need your help. So go to itsthereal.com/shop right now and buy a mean mug.
At itsthereal.com.
That's what you guys should do.
Yeah.
We have some mugs.
Buy some mug. There are two things you have to do.
Yeah.
Buy a mug.
Yeah.
Listen to the J Part episode
of
our podcast.
That's your assignment.
Episode number 212.
Episode number 212. Go buy a mean mug. itsthereal.com/shop. And now back to Parks.
It's Parks.
What do you think going into the second Slaughterhouse album? Now we're going into, they're signed to Shady.
Right.
There's a lot of anticipation for this.
Yeah.
The first album went very well, right? Yeah. For E1.
Yeah, I think it was like a number one independent album at the time. It did very well.
Everyone was happy with it, and there was a lot of excitement going in.
Yeah.
What was your role going to be for the recording process, and how excited were you to do a second project?
Super excited. I guess I didn't really think about what my role would be because they did a lot of it in Detroit. So I did a lot of auxiliary stuff. Like I did Hammer Dance we did at D&D, and we did Frat House at D&D, and a B.O.B. song we did there. So I recorded like a bunch of stray verses on the album, but I was excited for them to, you know, do their thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
did you think when they did Hammer Dance, you're like, oh, that's the single?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And Frat House. Preem had a writer at the time that wrote a bunch of stuff for Beyonce, and he came in during Frat House and was like, yo, that's a hit. And it probably should have been. I think that they tweaked it probably a little too much in mixing and additional production shit that took away from the original song. But whatever. I had a lot of anticipation for the album, and I think it was a pretty good album. There was just a bunch of shit that they tried to force in.
Mm. Yeah. When you were recording, did you ever take a trip up to Detroit?
Not during that project. I've been out to Detroit a bunch of times to like work with Royce and shit like that. But
when's the first time you met Eminem?
One of the Cyphers. I think the one with Mos Def and Black Dot.
Mm.
Yeah.
It wasn't at like a white people meeting?
White people of hip hop? No, it was the Cypher, and then the other Cypher in Detroit that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How'd you find him to be?
That was right when he was getting sober. He wasn't really much for conversation, and he certainly wasn't going to have it with me. So he was nice, though. He was cordial.
As far as all the Slaughterhouse guys go, you had your relationship with Joe. Who did you find yourself like gaining trust with?
All those guys, man. Yeah. I love those guys, man. All of them.
And did they later want to use you for any of their solo projects?
Yeah, I worked with all of them on their solo projects in various capacities.
So
did
when
you ever contribute any verses?
I did not rap. No, I didn't do any rapping.
Yeah.
Maybe I suggested deletion of a word.
Oh.
Too many words in the bar, you're running on. That's about the most I ever did.
In terms of like all of their process, who is the quickest? And who is the who spends the most time in the studio?
Joe spends the most time, but he records pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Joel is pretty quick in general. Writes quick, records quick.
Nicknamed Quick, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Good point.
Yeah.
Crooked Eye writes in the booth, so like that can be a long process. Like not bar for bar, but every four bars, stop for a minute, he comes up with the next line.
Yeah.
It's a crazy process.
Yeah.
Especially when you rap that well.
Yeah.
Like, to think that you're coming up with all this multi-syllabic shit, like, in the booth.
Yeah.
Without a pen is insane.
Yeah.
Royce is pretty quick. He's somewhere in the middle, I guess. Like, he usually walks around the room for a while, mumbles, maybe records a mumble, and then fills it in later.
Who's the most fun to record?
I mean, for me, it'd probably be Joe, just because I record him the most. Like, we have a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Pause, if necessary.
Mm-hmm. There have been other things that we could have paused.
Oh, a ton of them. Just covering our bases here, man. Possibly pause again.
Yeah. Just a pause in perpetuity. That's what we're doing.
And so, that project comes out.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there's the label stuff. There's all these questions online or whatever.
Yeah, actually, how personally do you take it? like reviews?
Not very personally.
Because people will talk about like the artist, but they don't talk about like behind the scenes people.
As long as they're not slandering the mix, I'm pretty cool, man. I don't take much stock into reviews. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I understand what, like, most of our stuff has been reviewed fairly well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even that Slaughterhouse Project was reviewed fairly well. There mm-hmm. were some fans that hated like the more poppy records, which mm-hmm. I understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably had the same opinion, honestly. So like sometimes when the review comes out, it's like, yeah, I kind of feel the same way. You know what I mean? Because I have some say, but I don't have enough say to say, yo, this song can't make it. You know what I mean?
Do you take what Ice has to say to heart?
Ooh, that's
in general
question.
Or just like Ice is crazy, man. I value his opinion though.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a good opinion.
Totally.
He's just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen his Twitter?
Yeah, I've checked in.
Yeah,
yeah.
Have you ever gotten shoes from him? He works at Foot
he
Action.
He does work at Foot Action.
Does.
Yeah.
No.
Shout out to our friend Ice out there
Puma.
In Eau Claire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a Puma man.
Yeah, I'm a Puma man.
Yeah, okay.
And a Timberland man.
Yeah.
And they don't carry either. So, yeah, no. He's got the Iversons unlocked, though.
Yeah, he does. All right. So second project comes out. There was also the mixtape before that.
Yep.
And
I did all the mixtape stuff. Yeah.
Oh, and then there was this album To Be.
Yeah.
That has never come out.
Rest in peace.
And has been. So that was Just Blaze.
Yeah.
That was
Illmind.
Arab Music.
Justice League. Cardiac. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of material.
Yeah.
A lot of recording hours.
Yeah.
Looking back now.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows what'll ever happen to that if Ice will ever release them. But looking back now.
Abolish Ice.
Do you wish that they came out, or do you understand, knowing what you know, why that project is not coming out?
That shit should have came out. I still think it should come out. I wish that they would. I mean, I understand why it's not going to come out, and I respect the fact that it's never going to come out. But I wish that like they would just say, you know what, fuck it, let's just put this shit out and see what it does.
The label?
The label and the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't want the label to put it out without the group consenting.
Because mm-hmm.
that was a big thing, too. Like, by the time that things were in motion and ready to move, people wanted to change verses and stuff like that. So that kind of delayed things. And then there's, you know, a whole bunch of politics and shit like that. But I wish it would come out.
How were the mixes?
Mine were great.
Do you think if you heard it now, if you listen to it again with fresh ears after however long it's been?
I do occasionally.
And do you think that it still hits like it hit back then?
Yes.
Yeah. So it should come out.
I think so.
Just for the internet's purposes, what is your email and password?
They're not in my email.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in a secret hard drive stored underneath the earth.
Were you ever afraid that your shit would be like hacked into?
Yeah, I used to have to change my email. I still do, I guess, pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you say what's one of your old passwords?
No way. Because you don't really change your password. You just move like the decimal point and shit and put a different number in there. Like...
What's the strangest place you ever had to record someone's vocals?
That's
shit.
A good question.
Joe's Pool House. We did a bunch of the SLV records that we were doing at the time out there. That was a pretty interesting place. I don't mind. We did some Airbnb recordings, like
wow.
just in a room somewhere. Man, I've recorded. I'm a vigilant man. I'll take a laptop and just record wherever.
Well, what's the most like last second like situation you ever had to like? Shit, call someone to get like this type of microphone. I need like whatever.
I always have shit with me, man. Like if I'm going on the road, I would have a mic with me and an interface and stuff like that. So I never had that problem. I would travel with shit.
What's your weirdest Airbnb story? Because every single Airbnb has like one or two weird things about it where it's just like, why did they do this? Like, why is this house the way it is? Like, we've had shower heads that are, like, a foot and a half too short.
That's always the case with tall people.
Yeah, no, no, no.
No, this is, like...
Like,
is
even like, too short?
This yes, is, like, yeah. It was going into my
it's
chest.
It's like a bidet?
Was like, yeah.
That wasn't the shower at all, man.
You do love bidets, yeah.
I don't know. I don't do Airbnbs that much,
mm-hmm.
fortunately. Because I think it's kind of a weird thing. Like, as a society, relying that much on other people is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to do them
yeah.
that much.
Did you ever have a situation as a DJ where you came in and the equipment was not up to par?
Every single time.
Even though you have a rider.
Time. Yeah, they never honor the rider. Ever. And shit is broken half the time. Like, I got real good. Because you can on Serato, you can just run, it's called internal mode, where you're basically just playing the MP3.
Yeah.
I got real comfortable with that. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
This will work. I'm not scratching a thing.
Okay, so when you were on the road with Slaughterhouse and they had their whole thing.
Yeah.
Their whole thing being...
Well, no, a certain set, right? Like, you're going to do everyone the introduction at the beginning where everyone comes out one by one.
Yeah,
right.
The routine.
The routine.
Yeah.
Were you there for when they would have someone from the crowd come up and, like, rap your favorite verse or whatever?
Yeah, we've done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it never goes well.
No.
No, never. No.
You
no.
never find once... someone who actually, like... We saw Kendrick do that thing like years later once in Maryland whoever he called up in front of like a big festival audience came up and killed it, and we were like, oh, it actually works.
We had one guy in Iowa and there was only probably 20 people in the crowd. He went up and just fucking killed it.
Whoa.
Yeah,
but did it really happen, you know?
Yeah, I think I have a video of it somewhere.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah, he was on point.
But like, usually it would just be like they would call the person up. The person would fail, ultimately.
Miserably.
And then they would just make fun of the person for coming up.
Yeah. I feel like we see... Like, Joe would do that at solo shows, too, right?
Yeah.
So,
and we still do that at the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is still an issue. Relying on the crowd and then fucking it up every single time. But, I mean, it's difficult. I understand why. Like, if you're not a rapper or a personality on a mic, and then you now are on a mic...
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, a lot of breath control you never think about.
Yeah.
Like,
staying on beat.
Right, yeah.
That's a big one.
Well, so... Okay, so when you do it for the podcast, when you guys have the couples come up on stage.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, there's been, like, as far as, like, you know, YouTube, you can see a lot of ones that really worked.
Yeah.
But there are scenarios where it's just like, guys, you are.
It's bad.
You're asking bad questions. Yeah. You're boring. And you don't know how to sort of, like, share.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to break up, like, right now.
Well,
and or get arrested.
That's what,
that's
good,
what you want. That's what you
want.
We want,
want
the threat of doom in the relationship. That makes for a good show.
Well, do you prefer truth or truth?
Dare.
Yeah. Okay, so when Joe and Rory and Marissa start their version of the podcast, where are you with your career?
We were in the middle of working on All Love Lost, maybe.
Right. Okay.
So they would do that shit at like 8 a.m. or some stupid shit on a Tuesday, and then I would meet them there.
No, they did it at night.
Well,
no.
we went one time at night, but Joe wasn't there.
Yeah, he was frequently there. It was a morning thing. Mm-hmm. And then we would go to the studio afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I would usually be there for like half of it. And sometimes I talked on the early episodes occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when it became like this bigger thing, especially on SoundCloud, iTunes, all of that.
Right.
When did you transition to doing it at your place permanently?
The studio that they worked out of in Jersey went down for like renovation or something like that. And
right.
So we had done a couple at my house, like when we were working on albums and we just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, let's just go to Park's house. So,
and how is that like for you at the beginning?
It's fun.
Oh yeah.
It's still fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
But as far as like, you're like, okay, this is a big change to my daily process here.
Right.
Yeah. Do you keep the equipment out?
No. Well, I mean, some of it. Like, my house is a studio. My whole house is a fucking studio.
It's a studio
like
apartment.
My bedroom is... Yeah, it's a studio apartment, even though it's a one bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, my bedroom has a booth in it. You know what I mean? It's convertible, because my girlfriend lives with me now, so I had to make it, like, a house.
Yeah.
It's convertible. Mm-hmm. But my living room...
Make a house into a home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My living room is a studio, though. Mm-hmm. So that always stays. But the mics I put up and shit.
Was there any question of where you would seat everybody?
No.
It was always that you would be... off.
Yeah, well, I had to be like next to the board and so
I mean, you didn't have to be.
I mean, because we stop and shit.
Yeah.
And but no, it's like a full fucking board. Like, I can't move.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Describe the apartment off camera.
It's not that big. It's a New York apartment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of studio shit in there, and then there's a kitchen and my girlfriend sitting in the kitchen while we podcast.
Man.
And that's kind of that's it. That's
she's really
a saint.
Yeah.
She really is.
Especially
she's
for those 3-hour ones.
Bro.
What does your girlfriend really like about the podcast? Like, what does she like audibly laugh at?
Usually when they make fun of me.
Okay.
She gets a kick out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they go in on like the food that she has there. Does she get a kick out of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
She has fun with everything. She is a saint because I have sessions there all the time. Like, I did Azalea Banks' Christmas album this year, and she was there singing fucking Christmas songs till 6 o'clock in the morning.
What?
Yeah.
There's like 6 things in that sentence I don't understand.
Yeah, I know.
And Azalea Banks' Christmas album, did it came out?
It came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
She blocked us on Twitter. I don't see anything. But so wait. So how did... Okay.
Well, it's a lot to unpack here.
But until six, I ultimately don't care. But I'm just like, okay.
Does your girlfriend get an assistant engineering credit?
I need to start giving her credit.
Yeah. Does she stick around like that full time while Azalea finishes till 6 a.m?
Yeah. She went to sleep somehow. Slept through that.
Jesus.
Yeah. And like the podcast, she'd just be chilling.
Well, wow.
Yeah, she's a saint.
She doesn't like all right, I'm gonna go out for like 3 hours. I'll be back.
Sometimes, but not really. No, because she's just like getting home from work at that time.
Yeah,
to a house full of
fuckheads. She has like an actual job.
Yeah.
What do your neighbors think?
They're cool. Thank fucking God.
Because like we used to do it out of, I mean, we still do it out of this apartment, but when we were in our last apartment, like people would wait downstairs for like Cardi B or Post Malone or whoever else.
Right.
And so like you would see all these people come in. You guys have the same group of people who are coming over all the time.
Right.
And your neighbors do see them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They come down and hang out sometimes. They're great. They're like our age. So like they're cool. I mean, they tell me to like shut up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Unless when Azalea was there, I'm like, listen, I'm doing this project. I'm going to be up late. I'm sorry in advance. Yeah. And they're like, cool. Do whatever you got to do.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like doing construction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're pretty cool. Like I said, they yell at me at some point, but as long as I turn the subwoofer off, they're all right.
How did you get to know Azalea?
Through Joe.
And
Joe and her are friends. They were potentially working on something.
Does she know you're white?
Yes. She found that out. She's great, though, honestly.
That's good.
Yeah, she gets a tough rap, but she was great. I see why she gets tough rap. Sure. I'm not dismissing her.
Right, she hasn't blocked you on Twitter. You see.
No.
Yeah, you literally see.
Yeah.
So when the podcast starts to really take off, and before you even go to Spotify, do you feel that yourself, like when you just move around and people are just like, oh, I know that guy from the podcast?
Yeah. And it's crazy because I'm not on camera. So
right.
Like it usually happens when I talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, shit, you're Parks. I'm like, you caught me.
Yeah.
Like, so they like, just know
you'll
my
just
voice.
Be like talking and somebody will come up to you and be like, oh, my God, you're that guy.
Yeah.
That's happened to us.
That
like
has happened
times.
To us. Yeah.
I'm
and
sure.
Actually recently, too. But but that's a weird thing. They're just like, oh, now I know who you
but
are.
But also it's because like our faces are more out there than yours.
Right.
By the way, so I'm doing this collage for our 250th episode.
Okay.
And finding a picture of you.
Difficult, right?
Very difficult.
I'm out there.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like a selfie guy.
No, but now you have to be in like the tour pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or videos.
Yeah.
Well, was there ever a conscience move by you to that you didn't want to be part of that?
Not really. No, it kind of just started off as me being like the guy, the engineer on the mic, and then it grew into a bigger role. And it's kind of funny, I think, like having the guy off camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we just, it's not broken. So
do you?
Well, I mean, because I was listening to, in prepping for this, I listened to the Grassroots podcast.
Yeah.
Shouts to all them. But you said that basically like you sort of like lived a very boring, your words, not mine.
Yeah.
life where it didn't seem like you were destined for this on-camera role.
Right. I don't care, man. Like, I don't care about being on camera.
Right.
I'm not saying I don't want to be on camera. I'm okay with either way.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever y'all want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like my thought process.
Well, is it like a weird thing for you when like literally the internet at large seemed to just demand this interview?
Right.
Is that like a weird thing where it's just like people want to know my story? Like,
no, no, I don't think it's weird. We're on a pretty big podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot. So people want to know me.
You don't talk that much.
That's true. I'm the least of the four. But.
Were you happy when Joe started using a drop for you?
Yeah. I mean, I could have always kind of had, like, it's funny, even with like the sleepers and the drops, people are like, yo, you never give Parks a sleeper. It's like, I just didn't really play a sleeper. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't make a drop for him to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like him hating on me, but it's a fun narrative. So
yeah,
I roll with it.
Well, wait. So you picked out the, it's Parks.
Yeah.
From the phone
from the
call.
Jill, yeah.
But Joe wasn't like, hey, you should use that?
No. No. He wanted to use the Parks on the Boards thing, but I didn't want to use that one.
It's Parks.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's awkward and funny, which I like.
Do you ever hear outstanding out and just think like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, I'm back at my house.
Like it's PTSD.
Yeah.
And like I've heard a couple songs sample outstanding recently, which I think is a result of us, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make that claim.
Oh, we will. Yeah, that's happened. Yeah,
and it throws me off a little bit. It's like, hey, wait, that's our song. What are you doing?
Where is the strangest place that you've gotten like correspondence from?
You mean like a DM or an email or something?
Sure,
like that?
Sure, yeah.
Literally all over the world. That's the part that boggles my mind. Like South Africa and Sweden and Australia is English speaking, but non English speaking countries reaching out blows my mind. Because like, how do you understand? We don't talk English, barely. Like,
I mean, you literally just did not speak English.
Exactly.
You were like, we don't talk English.
Yeah, exactly. So how do these people understand what we're saying? But
well, okay. Was there ever a fear on your part? So I think it's pretty well known at this point, especially for Joe, but all of you, you made the sacrifice for something that you really believed in, right?
Right.
There were no ads to speak of.
Right.
You guys did this routinely every
single week,
every Wednesday for a long time.
Yeah.
You could see the numbers that you were killing it, you know, every week. And we know that feeling too.
Right. You guys are doing well, too.
Thank you.
And are you not signed to anybody? Or
We are independent right now.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But while you're going through that, what was your feeling like? And could you see the light at the end of the tunnel and then talk about what it was like to sign to Spotify?
Honestly, it's just fun for me. I never really thought about it. Like, sitting around talking with your homies like for a couple hours a week, it's just fun. In my home. I mean, that's the only part that's a little bit exhausting, I guess, is cleaning up and shit.
But, sure.
I never really thought about it. I just go. And that's, I think, like a lot of creative people, like, you kind of just have to do things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do you guys, like, sit and ponder things? No, you're just trying to do your show.
And then you guys get the offer from Spotify. And I'm sure there was a period of time where it was negotiated. But when it finally comes through, how'd you feel?
Felt great. We're getting paid finally.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Did it change the way you work? Besides doing, you know, one on a Tuesday night and one on a Friday night or whatever.
You mean as far as the podcast has changed the way you work?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. Same shit, honestly.
And what was the big difference between not filming it and filming the episodes?
I mean, they've been filming for as long as they've been in my house. Yeah. So there's no difference.
Wow.
Yeah. There's always been a video, not always, but there's been a video component for a while.
Yeah.
So no difference there.
And were you there for the Pusha interview?
Yeah.
That was a long interview.
That was.
And we understand it was heard, it was longer and then edited down.
I think, I don't know if we did much editing. No, honestly. We don't really do much editing in general.
Do you do the editing?
We usually edit on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll stop and say, hey, let's clean that up or punch in from here. Yep. Or like,
say that joke again and laugh even louder this time.
Oh, it's funny, man. Laugh louder. We don't do a lot of editing, honestly. No. Mm-hmm. We just kind of go straight through. I mean, we stop and like take a break and smoke cigarettes and drink in the kitchen and pace around, but not much editing.
What was the experience with Pusha like?
I mean, that's one of my favorite rappers. He was cool as shit, man. And his whole team, they were great.
Yeah.
They were great. Yeah. Same with Chance. Chance, his whole team was dope. I mean, both of those actually were kind of remote. Like, we went to Joe's house for Pusha, and we went to some hotel for Chance. So that was a lot of work, like, moving all the shit. But it was fun, man.
Yeah.
And you had done the Drake thing. You mixed, you engineered.
Yeah, him. I engineered on Sandra's Rose off Scorpion. Yeah.
So, like, what was that process like? I'm not saying, like, oh, my God, Parks is in the middle of this beef. I'm just saying, like,
you're just saying, like, you have a real, like, engineering gig while you're doing a real podcast gig.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself one or another?
Both, man. I'm a lot of things. It's exhausting, honestly.
What's another thing you are?
A great musician, driver. A great driver. Fantastic driver. A loving boyfriend.
A kind host at your house.
Yeah, I wear a lot of hats, and it is exhausting. And I work on, like, State of the Culture and the pull-ups and all that shit, so.
I want to do a show called State of the Vulture. But I don't know who else would be on it with me. But
other white people.
Yeah, sure.
No, I got that part.
Yeah. Eminem. So
we'll bring it up at the next white people meeting. Yeah.
So when you do all these things, does your family understand what you do?
Yeah. My sister listens to the podcast.
That's cool.
And she buys the albums that I work on, even if she doesn't like the music.
That's really nice.
My parents, they understand. I don't think they're really tuned into what the fuck I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my sisters are actually tuned in, though.
Your parents are like, our criminal son.
No, not at all. They're just like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Come home at Christmas.
Do you hear from...
Well, you didn't even come home at Christmas last time because Azalea Banks was recording until 6 a.m.
Do you hear from old high school classmates at, you know, up in Elmira?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of them. Because they live in various cities that were on tour. So they're like, I'm going to come to Tampa or, you know, whatever.
Do you get free tickets?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's the Elmira, you know, connection.
Yeah, for sure.
The handshake or the wave.
Yeah, for the Central New York feeling.
Yeah. What are some other hijinks you guys get into on the road? Like, I remember, like, there was a video of Joelle.
You want to steal our fucking show set. I see what you're doing. What are your other secrets?
I just remember, like, you know, Joelle and Joe doing, like, they had, like, a race.
Oh, a foot race.
A foot race in, like, Iowa and stuff. Like, I know that, I know that is definitely not happening with you four, but, like, is there anything that you guys do, like, behind the scenes?
No, man, we're all old and fucking in relationships except for Maul and Savon.
Yeah.
So we just be chilling. And, like, the rock star lifestyle is over.
That wasn't a rock star lifestyle I'm describing.
But racing is definitely rock star. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. Those guys are really living it up.
Nah, but we don't
doing
like...
a 20,
get
like,
back in the
dash.
Tahoe. Yeah.
We used to like go out and club and, you know, go to strip clubs and shit like that, which we still do to some extent, but they're much more tame.
Yeah.
Like sitting in the corner sipping a Corona.
Right, they're burlesque shows now.
No, they're still the ratchet strip clubs.
Did you hear Maul on our podcast?
Yes.
And did you learn things like Joe learned things or quote unquote learned things about Maul?
Probably. I don't remember. That was like a year ago, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember specifically.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. Hey, man.
And the same with Rory?
Yeah. I don't think I really learned much. Oh, but Rory was the one that popped off, right? He had the Kanye West stories.
He did. Yeah. He did.
He blew you guys up, man.
Yeah. No, yeah. That.
You got to give him a cut?
Yeah. No, there's that. And Maul, too, when he spoke about being in the choir uptown.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the biggest takeaway from that one.
Well, also that he was related to his brothers.
Which is crazy to me.
Because we knew that.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of people didn't, which is nuts, I'm saying.
I knew both of those things. Yeah. Him and Imani went to the same school. So, like.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You're breaking news on our podcast about Maul. What's something about your brother that we can talk about?
My brother or my sisters?
Your fake brother.
Blood brother. Yeah.
Because if we're trying to get if we're trying to piggyback off of Maul,
where you're going with it. Yeah. I see where you're going with it. Nothing, man. They're
God damn it.
I'm sorry, man. My family is not industry. They live regular lives.
I set you up.
Teach kids and fucking run restaurants and shit.
But are they like the triumvirate of that industry?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, they're the bigs of restaurants here in upstate New York.
When you take on projects now to engineer,
are
you much more picky with what you do? Okay.
Yeah, I can't do. I don't have time. Like between podcasting, what do? 6 hours a week that it's just on air. That's not including like chilling and talking. So it's really like 8 hours a day. And then State of the Culture, we do every Friday.
Oh, my God. And that's like a really long day.
That's a really long day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's TV shoots. That's, you know.
Yeah.
We do the podcast after that. So that's like an 18-hour day for me.
Whoa.
And then when you start doing State of the Vulture with me.
I know. Yeah.
That's another 12 hours.
I don't really do. I mean, I am always working, but with people that I've always worked with for the most part. I'm not really looking particularly for new clients, although I'm interested. You know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to offers, but I can't. Like, unless it's something that's going to, like, better what I'm doing already, like someone that's popping or amazing.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So besides,
unless you get that genius credit.
yeah, exactly.
So besides referrals,
yeah.
What have people come to you for? Like do they find that like you mix in a certain way or you're really proud of something that you do behind the boards?
Yeah, I mean
do they just want that drop?
I'm gonna start putting my drops on all my mixes. Yeah. I don't know. I think they come to me because of the shit that I've done, you know, working with Premier, like Boom Bap Hip Hop or Super Lyrical Hip Hop or Emo Hip Hop. Like those guys want to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be choosy about what I do at this point just because I don't have time. Like I would love, I'm a workaholic. I would love to work a lot, but my girlfriend will kill me.
Sort of worth it.
Yeah.
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 Dead engineers get better promotion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are you most proud of in your engineering like skill set?
Technically,
mm-hmm.
I'm good at compressing.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. Let's get into it, guys.
People, all right, ready for this?
The way that I time my reverbs is exceptional.
Woo! Well, okay, straight up.
By the way, we're going to put reverb on that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that we live in an era now where, like, kids don't appreciate, like, something without an ongoing bass, like, throughout it?
You have to have some type of sub shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a project right now that I can't really talk about, but the producer didn't put much sub in it, and I'm just like, bruh. We're going to need some 808s underneath those kicks.
Is it Slaughterhouse?
It is not.
Well, that's why I say, like, with the Slaughterhouse shit, like, that might not have any of those producers there might not have put a lot of sub there.
No, those guys are putting subs in their shit.
Really?
Yeah, Cardiac and Justice League in them. Yeah, oh, true. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. And okay, so you're working on a project you can't talk about.
I'm working on a lot of projects I can't talk about, unfortunately. Really? This is a bad press run. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. They're big projects, but like I work with producers a lot, and if shit isn't like solidified on their end, I don't like to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't want to be the one to leak the information because that might fuck up their business.
Sure.
So, yeah, sorry.
What do you make of the...
Damn it, that's the only reason you're here.
What do you make of the thing recently where instead of using actual samples, they bring in players now to create a sound and then sample from that bank?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And yeah, I try money. To encourage people to do that. Like musicians that I know that are trying to like be producers and shit, like I'd be telling them like, yo, forget trying to make beats, man. Make samples.
Yeah.
Because like it's honestly the same money. And it's easier and it's more useful because everyone has sampled. At this point, there's not much records that you're going to find that have not been used. And you're not going to creatively flip something that much differently from someone else. So I think it's good for the economy of musicians, man. Like all these guys that play guitar really well that haven't had a way to make money in hip hop can now make money in hip hop. So it's great.
When you're recording a podcast and you guys get into a discussion on the inside baseball and you guys know a lot between the four of you.
Right.
Right. Do you ever feel you're like, oh man, like we're sort of giving away state secrets here? Like this is like,
nah, man, no. I like sharing information, and I think people want to hear information. The only part about it that is weird is when people are tuning in about shit that they don't know about, like not people on the podcast, like the fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so but that's part of the game. You know, if you talk about shit, people are gonna want to add their opinion. And it's like you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But I like sharing information. And it's fun to talk about it with people that also know about what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, who do you speak to on the podcast? Like, are you just speaking amongst the four of you? Or are you like, oh...
Cognizant of a larger audience out there.
I think... I never really thought about it, but I think
that
we just...
Oh, no, we're going to screw it up now.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I think
you're
going
to be like, oh, my God, my
Let
my...
me start addressing the engineer culture. No, man, we just...
I thought you were going to be like, my tongue feels so big in my mouth, like that sort of thing.
No, I think that we just talk amongst each other, and there's a lot of people that like what we talk about.
Because
it's pretty relatable, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, whether it's technical music shit or it's... Our girlfriends hate us because we work too much or whatever, people can relate to it. So I don't think that... I mean, I guess subconsciously we target an audience, but in the process of actually doing the podcast, I don't think about the audience per se.
Your girlfriend, you said, is in the room.
Yes.
Or like,
well,
just
in the case.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that she gets on the mic?
No, she doesn't want to be a part of any of that shit.
but what if I want her to be on the mic?
I would like her to say some shit sometimes. Yeah. I think it would be funny, but she doesn't want. She's low key.
But she never gets shouted out in the beginning either, by the way.
That's true.
Joe has a lot of friends in the room
that's
and never
true.
Mentions
yeah.
your girlfriend. Yeah.
Uh-oh, now you're going to have to bring this up.
I know, yeah.
It's going to cause some division.
Do you look back now at the kid who grew up in Elmira and say, like, I'm that same guy, just in a different city?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, same values, same morals?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Same work ethic?
Absolutely, definitely. I probably work harder now, actually.
Well, you definitely
old
work harder.
Old me was lazy.
Yeah, when old you worked at Manny's.
Yeah, definitely that guy. But you'd be lazy, too, for $200 a week. Fuck that.
Yeah. Do you still have aspirations of making beats and selling them?
More about producing albums for people I like and
wow.
I fuck with. Yeah, that's why I guess I never worked hard at being a producer is because I was never really just, oh, here's some beats, buy them for me. I don't want to do that. I like making albums.
Yeah.
Which engineering and mixing has led more to than making beats and sending them off to some guy in Atlanta. Or
sure.
Whatever. And well, then plus my OCD, I don't want someone else to mix my shit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So like, nah.
So has being on the podcast and having your name being out there create a lot more opportunities than ever?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I can't take a lot of them on because, like I said, I'm too busy. But I'm always looking for new talent and new opportunities.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
So people cannot reach out.
They can, and I have my emails like right on my page and shit,
mm-hmm.
and I do read them. I don't listen to every demo I get sent because that is impossible. But every so often, like I was on the flight the other day, I was like, "Yo, send me some links," and I listened to a bunch of shit, and most of it sucked. But there was like three or four good songs in there.
Could you get Savon to listen to it for you?
I wish. I gotta use my ears.
Yeah,
like, the shit that I can notice, he might not be trained to notice. You know what I'm saying? Although I should find someone that has a similar ear set as me and like taste.
But how do you do that?
I don't know. I've never had an assistant or an intern or anything like that because I'm way too like
controlling
well, I mean, and not trusting. Yeah. And
well, I mean, it's the same thing with us. Like, you know, we were very hands-on guys who I don't know how we would do with somebody who, you know, had to do stuff for us.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't
work. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. And plus, I'd like, what if they do some shit that is not me? You know what I mean? Like, play a song for someone that they weren't supposed to play, or I would lose my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do it.
There is a kid who is on LinkedIn and says that they're our intern. They are not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, and is passing us business. Like people were reaching out to this person.
Yeah.
And it's really? So crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You guys are popping.
Yeah,
that's what makes me popping.
Yeah, yeah. You have fake interns on LinkedIn, man. Yeah. You made it.
No, I don't know. Honestly, you want to know how we knew we made it? I swear to God. We came on here and we were like, hey, we're not jealous of any other podcast. And that's like straight up, right? Yeah. The one thing that I just wish we had, though, like there's Joe Budden Fitz. I said I wish we had Fitz the Real.
No, you don't.
And someone did it, and then another one did it because there's FITS and FITZ. And both of them do excellent Photoshop jobs.
Yes. It's great. It's so good. It's
oh, great. They're not really
they
your
put
best.
Us in Joe Budden Fitz.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
It's so good.
That's
kind of
funny. Yeah, that's kind of funny. I have a couple Parks Fitz page. They're really? Not very good.
Yeah, wait, how what is the Parks Hive like known for?
I don't know.
The only thing that I saw, because I was trying to do research on you again, because although people do think that we put in a lot of research for this, we honestly don't.
No.
Because we want to get natural reactions.
So. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did look for you, and I saw on Reddit that people were like impressed with how your girlfriend looked. So there
she
was
is
that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah. Shouts to her.
Yeah.
Let her on the mic.
Yeah. I'm sure she has a beautiful voice, too.
She
yeah.
does. Yeah. She does.
Especially yeah. with Parks on the boards.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I'll sweeten your vocals up a little bit. Auto-tuner.
But so, like, is there a thing where you're just like, oh, like, that's funny that these people are, like, they want more of me?
Yeah. I think it is pretty interesting. I don't know if I'm... I would... I don't know. I don't know how I would give more. I talk for 6 hours a week. Like, yeah. What more do you want from me, man?
Wait, what do you listen to when you're driving? Not, I mean, like, in the Tahoe, not, like, you just generally.
Joe always puts on sad R&B.
Dope.
Yeah. Like mad Janae Aiko and random shit.
Yep.
Which is like I fall asleep to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good thing you're not driving.
Yeah, for real.
What else do we need to cover?
I wanna satisfy the Parks Hive in some way. Is there like some random fact about you that like we just haven't touched?
I feel like we got a lot of random facts about me.
Besides Premiere, who's the biggest producer you've worked with?
I've worked with a lot of big producers. I gotta think about it. Everybody from the Golden Era I've worked with in one capacity or another. So like
Pete Rock,
I've done some stuff with all the DITC guys, Buck, Show, Lord Finesse. I've mixed some Knot stuff, Justice League, Just Blaze. Mm-hmm. I like working with producers as opposed to seeking out artists necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I have a producer ear and they like that, I think, and I can communicate their language with them. And in the I can't say the real world. The way it should go is the producer should have the final say on the song.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather work with that person than someone that's going to make me do a bunch of shit and then I have to change it when the producer hears it and hates all of it. Mm-hmm.
Do you like to push the vocals forward or do you like...
Depends. It depends on the song. Depends on the artist. Depends on the content. And if it's rapping, yeah, more forward.
Mm-hmm.
If it's singing, it can kind of be a little more musical.
Did Joe put you on to Drake?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And did you see it from the beginning?
Yeah.
For him?
Yeah. Yeah. He was dope.
Yeah?
He had it all. I mean, he can sing, he can rap. He made...
What a brave opinion.
Yeah. I know, right? Really going out on a ledge here.
Wow, thank you for that. Guys, I think Drake is really talented.
Absolutely.
All right, you're working on the shows, working on music that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
Your relationship's great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of you doing a solo podcast?
I would like to, but I have to figure out what I would want to talk about because I wouldn't want to make it like nerdy engineer talk.
Right.
I feel like that's really boring. And there's only like, if you even look at the numbers for like the engineering nerd podcasts mm-hmm. that are like big,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they're not very big.
No.
So it's like,
maybe if you
what's
push the
point?
Vocals forward.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably buried in the mix a little too much. I would have to figure out a lane that I would want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be nerdy, or at least not technical nerdy.
Right.
We could talk about nerdy shit though, but.
I really do think that Parks and Emotional Wreck would be a really good one if
that
you
would be
show
really
ever
yeah.
like sit down and talk about feelings.
Yeah. Do you find it funny that there is this Joe Budden economy?
No, I don't. I think that he's a character, man. He's a fucking insane individual and intellectual. It's a good mix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, what's the best fit that you've seen Joe in? Meaning worst. Best meaning worst.
I mean, the hockey, soccer, basketball jerseys.
The hybrid.
Gotta be the number one. Yeah. I can't possibly think of a worse one than that.
I mean, there's a bunch, though.
There's a lot of good ones,
there's
man.
A lot of... Like, there's an entire account devoted to this.
And it's really... Like, the guy that writes that shit is mad funny. I have no idea who it is.
You're right, right.
He's hilarious.
Also, that he keeps tagging Maul in all the pictures. Makes me laugh.
I hate that the other people aren't as funny. Like, the Joe and... Or the Rory and Maul page. Right. And the Parks page. Like, right. They gotta step their shit up, man.
But also, like... It's tough because they haven't stepped out in that way, like to look so crazy.
Right.
That's true. That's true. That's
true. Also, I will say, because of your podcast, everybody's starting to say nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Everything is nasty now.
Yeah.
Things that aren't even nasty are nasty.
Yeah. It's just like swag.
Yeah.
Have you been asked to host any club nights?
Oh. I'm not doing that shit.
Yes, you are. Wait.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Just a quick walkthrough?
No.
Touch the back wall?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't stand on the couch?
Nah.
Yo, Parks bachata night would be so good.
Oh, that would be lit. I would actually do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Would you stand...
Because my girl would make me do that.
Would you
also, you would still be in Queens, so it's fine.
That's true, yeah.
Would you stand in the DJ booth?
Yeah.
And every now and then just, like, touch the mic? Like,
yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Yo, this is Parks. We got drink specials. Well,
shout out to all the birthday people now. Shout out to all the Sagittarius.
Parks, listen. Thanks so much for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on everything. It's really been a joy to watch you guys like take off, and I think, you know, what's in your future is just, you know, out of here. So
I think so too. I hope so.
Right on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with It's the Real Jeff. People want to find out more about us. I'm Eric,
aka Jewish McCurley.
You're Jeff,
aka Glasses Malone.
And together, we are It's the Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If people want to find out more about what's going on with us, Jeff, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. Go there, go get a mug.
Yeah.
Go get two mugs.
Jeff, guess what?
What?
Mean mug time.
Oh, is it mean mug season?
It's mean mug everything.
Get a mug, catch that drip. Also, you can always go to Spotify. Go to, I think we're working out a deal with Tidal.
We're on iTunes.
We're on anywhere you want to be.
Google Play, A Waste of Time. With It's the Real.
Yes. All of our old episodes, all of our new ones, go get those.
You mean that Jay Park episode?
Go get that Jay Park episode.
That Joe Budden episode?
212, episode number like 13 or something. I don't know.
Jeff, are we on social media or
we
what?
We sure are. We just joined. Twitter.com/It's the Real. Also, Instagram at It's the Real. Also, Facebook at It's the Real.
We're still on Facebook?
We're still on Facebook.
Who would have guessed?
We're on any social media network you want us to be on.
Jeff. This is now the time where you go back and recite names as we do each week. But this time I was like, hey, if you're listening, let us know.
What? Recite names like they're...
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Recite names.
Recite names like they're like commies.
Yeah, no. All people out.
Uh-huh. All these
people. Who they are and what city they're listening from. Jeff, air them out.
I want to shout out Skip from BK, who has listened to every episode of ours.
Mentioned that before?
A couple times. He's from New York. I want to shout out Bohemian Trapsody, which is a great name.
Great name.
That's Big Belly Casanova from Philly. All
right.
I want to shout out Vic from Herzliya.
Oh, our friend Vic. Count on Vic.
Also from the Upper East Side. I want to shout out Jeff from Providence. That's Jeffrey 5. I want to shout out Louie from Englewood. I want to shout out Mag from Golden Gate, Florida. That's shot by Mag. Keezy the Great from Dallas. Let's also shout out Josh, a.k.a. J.W. Smiles of Uncool Urban Pod in Dallas by way of Akron, Ohio. Listen.
Wow.
That's a whole biography.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of
stuff.
But
shout out to him, though.
Shout out to Alex from Oklahoma. Shout out to Andy Patel from Austin, Texas. Six from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Nia from San Francisco. Josh, a.k.a. Water Gun Boy, a.k.a. Splish Splash. A.K.A. 9450.
All right.
From Orlando.
Love it.
Dean Muniz from Inland Empire, California. Wyatt from Vacaville. Vacaville? Vacaville. I don't know. They all work. Also, Boney from Brooklyn. Boney Starks, who I want to shout out for sending us soccer jerseys from NYCFC.
Shout out to Boney Starks.
Shout out to T. Hall from Fort Worth. JP from Dallas. A lot of people from Texas. Chris from Chicago, not from Texas. Josh Gonzalez from... Josh is from LA. He's in Raleigh right now, but he's in LA.
All
right.
That's where he's listening from.
Yeah. Also,
he's mad at that.
He is the loudest person. I love him for it. Shout out to Thank You Tez from Dallas, James from Fayetteville, North Carolina, Bastion from Hollis, Queens, Incognito from Baton Rouge, who is sick of me mispronouncing his name.
Yeah, so he spelled it out.
Spelled it out. PT from Atlanta, The Rap Museum from H-Town, Marquez from Greensboro, North Carolina, Brandon from Nashville, Lit Skit from Richmond, Virginia, Don B from Landover, Maryland.
Shout out to Don B.
I want to shout out Max Gredinger and Matt Miggs.
Okay.
New York, then LA, but now back in New York.
Yes.
Cooch from Providence, Rhode Island. Jay Godey from Sacramento, California, who is a Beehive member. Shout out to Hasif the Few, who said that he wanted to be shouted out, but actually just shout out Joshy Gonzalez again.
All right, two times.
Shout out to Shot of Adrenaline from Long Island. Shout out to William Geist, not Willie Geist,
right,
from San Francisco, not MSNBC. King KO from Nigeria. Jesse from Illinois. Pike Romero from Tucson, Arizona. Isaac from Ghana. Tanasia the Ninja from Harlem. Daniel from London.
Man, we're worldwide out here.
Yeah, wait, I'm gonna miss like 7 or 10 people or something. I wanna shout out Leo, our one and only listener from Lima, Peru.
Love that.
Mike Pride from Dallas, Texas. Alicia from Montclair, New Jersey. I'm a smacker down and going raw.
That's a name?
That's a name. Lawrence R. from New York City.
Okay.
Something with a P from Union County, New Jersey. T. Shady from Dallas. Road Knowledge from Phoenix. Adam from Phoenix. D. from Dublin. Steve from Cortland Manor, New York. Allie from Alaska. And last, but certainly not least.
Not least.
Cousin Lou.
Yeah.
Gordo Ramsey.
Yeah.
From Nip Angeles.
Rest in peace to our guy, Nipsey Hussle. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
See you guys next week.